You're listening to Kenyan Voices. This is a podcast that touches on themes about Kenya, its people, and contemporary culture. We also invite guests, probe them about themselves, their stories, lessons they've learned, and how to make a difference. Welcome to this episode of the Kenyan Voices podcast. Today we want to talk about our relationship with our phones. So I think this is something that all of us think about every day. Personally, I think I have a problem with my phone, but I think I'll get more insight here today. So we'll start off with a question. Hi, Matiko.
Hey, hey. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hi, Evans.
Hi.
Hi, Eunice.
Hello.
So, first question. How many hours do you think you spend on your phone every day? Matiko?
Every day, I'll probably give it 2 hours in total.
Okay.
Yeah.
In a span of 24 hours?
In a span of 24 hours. Like, that's 2 hours continuous.
Okay. Evans, how many hours?
It depends. Days aren't the same. That's tough to put a number on. A stab in the dark, I would say maybe 2 hours a day.
Cumulative. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I spend maybe 3 hours cumulatively, but we'll see. Eunice, how many hours do you think you spend on your phone?
Luckily, I have a screen time timer on my phone.
Oh, okay.
So, on average, depends on the day. For example, how much work I have and stuff. But average in a day, I spend about 6 hours.
Wow, with the timer, you spend 6 hours. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's do a little experiment. So, if you, I think nowadays, Android, if you have an Android phone, if you go to the settings, let's try this. Go to your settings and then go to digital well-being parental controls.
So
mine, for example, says I've spent today thus far, I've spent 2 hours, 8 minutes. We are only at around midday. So I'll probably end up spending 4 hours. What did you guys find? Evans, what did you find? I'm curious.
I have an iPhone.
Oh, you have an iPhone, okay.
So, I don't know if it's got the same. I'm pretty sure I have the same. I think with iPhones, you have to do it app by app.
No.
Okay.
I have an iPhone.
So I've spent 2 hours, 23 minutes.
Oh, okay. So you're almost on point.
Is there a way to find out on the iPhone?
Which iPhone do you have?
Oh, screen time. Oh, yeah, there it is. Mine says turn on screen time, so it's not been on. So I would have to turn it on now, and then maybe in a few weeks I can report what it says.
Yeah, what did you find, Eunice? How many hours?
Today I have been on the phone for 7 hours, 27 minutes.
Wow. Okay. So maybe I don't have a problem after all. But...
well, I don't think it's that simple. I think you can dig deep. You can dig deep into that and figure out because the phone is not a phone anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day when it was just a phone, then it would be a problem if you spend 7 hours. Now it's a TV, it's a computer, it's a calculator, it's an internet browser, you know, there's so many things. But
so mine says WhatsApp 55 minutes, Chrome, the browser, 38 minutes, YouTube, 13 minutes. I'm glad I don't have Facebook on here. It means I didn't get on Facebook today. But yeah, it gives you a breakdown of what you do. But anyway, where I was going with this is Do you guys consider being on the phone too much as a problem to yourself? And if so, so when would you guys say that, okay, I think I have a problem with my phone? Matiko, I'm sure you're thinking.
Yeah.
I can see you're thinking.
Yeah.
So, he's staring at his phone.
Yeah, so I think on my part, one of the things that I've intentionally done, so my phone never rings somehow. So what I did is it's on silent, like literally no vibration or anything. So that sort of helps me manage to what reactions I have to my phone. But, you know, the only bad part is if you ever call me and you really need help, I will not be there for you. And yeah, so that's one thing. The other thing, I think earlier, maybe a couple of years ago, I realized, you know, sometimes you'll sneak, you know, you'll go to bed with your phone or something. But of course, ever since I got married, one of the things, the decision I made is my phone is always in the sitting room. So I never go with my phone to my bedroom. So that's what, so it helps manage that bit, because then you'll imagine having your phone in your blanket, how long that can be. And of course it affects your sleep based on the fact that you're having all this light on your eyes. So it has that kind of effect.
Yeah.
So those are some of the simpler things to try and manage that. But, you know, to answer your question, one of the bigger worries I have is especially around productivity. So to what extent, because sometimes you really have to put thought to some of the work that I'm doing. And for me to, you know, to make sure that I dedicate as much thought to it as possible, then I need to get a lot of all these things that could come in to derail me in that kind of thought process to get things done. So what I do, and I mentioned earlier, then is to keep the phone on silent, probably put in the pocket. So I'll probably, you know, oh, I have a couple of missed calls. I'll unapologetically just, you know, call you back. You're like, oh, I tried calling you. Like, yeah, I'm here now. Yeah, what are you saying? Yeah, so that's how I deal with it.
And I think, I mean, it looks like you have everything down, because I think those are the things.
Yeah, but I have to admit, but you know, the thing that usually happens is it's really a work in progress, because I think all of us agree that to a certain extent, you know, social engagement sometimes can be quite draining, but at the same time fulfilling.
Yeah.
So you're in groups that somehow, you know, sometimes you just find that discussion really flowing. You really need to engage. So at some point you're like, yeah, this is it, let's go. But then you realize you've actually done 2 hours just typing. And you know, but the counter to that is how much emotional drain sometimes it can have, especially in very negative groups or negative engagement. I think that's, for me, especially as we talk about this digital engagement, is how then do we protect, in as much as now there is a time aspect, but there's a time of around the mental drain that it can actually have, especially when you're engaging in, you know, all these heated debates that sometimes, you know, are debates that might be against some of your belief systems or thought processes, and you have to engage people continuously. So it raises your cortisol levels. It, you know, it has all these things that it does quite a bit of harm. So I think as we think about the time spent, let's also look at the you know, the emotional drain that it can have, especially to engage online with, you know, some kind of negative energy and this negativities across. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good point. Eunice, so you spend 7 hours on your phone on average. What do you do on your phone for 7 hours?
I'm a techie. Let's start from there.
Okay.
So my job entails or requires me to be in front of a screen like maybe 12 hours a day. And most company communications are on WhatsApp. I can't avoid it. It's there. And then another thing, also, like, my activity come from trauma. Like, I cannot have my phone without power. It freaks me out completely. And I realized one of the reasons I did that is because when I got my mother her first phone, I think that was around 2010, I told her, 1, don't pick unknown numbers, and 2, switch your phone off at night, always. And then this time, I was in a car crash in South Africa, and everybody tried to reach my family. And everybody had switched off their phones because, well, I had asked them to. So, yes. So now that, you know, I have a child, I don't want to miss any emergency call. So my phone has to always be on. It's a mental thing. I don't want to miss a call that my child has been in an emergency or my family has been in an emergency. So.
And I think that's where I was going to go with my next question about how long do you think you would survive without your phone, or how long do you think you can go without your phone? And so, but I mean, we've had our phones, we've had mobile phones for, I think I got my first one in 2003 when I was going to college. So how many years? 17 years. Before then, we didn't have phones and we still had emergencies. I mean, people still, the world has not changed much. So I think it's more of a mental thing, like you said. We feel like maybe if I have my phone, even now when I'm going out to run an errand, or if I'm going to work or I forget my phone, I feel like, okay, I need to turn around and go and get my phone. But if you really think about it, it's, and my thought process is always, okay, if something happened to me, if I had an emergency on the road, then maybe I need my phone so I can reach, call somebody to ask for help. But if you think about it, 20 years ago, no one had a phone in their car. I mean, so it really doesn't, it's not really a big deal as much as we make it to be. What do you think, Evans?
Well, yes. So I think you make a good point in the sense that it's more, it has more to do with us than the world changing, right? Because the world hasn't changed as much as our connectivity has changed. So we're more connected now than we were before. But, you know, things happen pretty much the same way. So to me, I say, I mean, I see it from both ends. On the one end, it's not really just a phone anymore. You're not, and some, in fact, it's less of a phone and more of all these other things. But I think it has replaced a lot of things that we used to do. Like, think about back in the day, you wake up in the morning, you have to get your morning paper. You don't need to do that anymore. Or your paper, your daily, whatever, Daily Nation, Standard, yeah, whatever it is. Well, now you can get the news right away as soon as you wake up. Okay, so it's replaced that. And then it's also replaced things like ideas such as planning ahead. You know, now you don't really need to plan ahead for much. Remember back in the day, if someone was leaving the country, you take them to the airport, you drop them off, and what do you say when you get there? Let's say I can't even imagine how that was. You say you're going, let's say you're going to Europe, and in Europe where you're going, someone knows someone and they're going to pick you up from the airport. This happened to me actually more than once. I've been at airports more than once waiting for people back in the day, and we had cell phones. It's just that we didn't have, I couldn't call because it was not, you know, I was in Europe and it's not a local number. The other time, you know, I was in the States, it wasn't a local number. I, you know, waited for this guy at the airport for hours. But, you know, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Life still goes on. So I think the trick is to, the trick is to incorporate the new world order and not lose some of those things that made life good without cell phones. For example, planning, you know, now you can just go, you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, let me check to see if this place is open. Oh yeah, they're closed. Back in the day, you had like a calendar, you know yeah, everything. And to me, it's still important to plan. You have to plan even though you have the cell phone, you know, maps, you know, map reading, for example. Now you don't need to be good at map reading. I hear people say this, when you give me directions, don't tell me north, east, southwest. But imagine how, even with the GPS sometimes, you have to know where your north and east and south and west are. So, but at the same time, you can't be that guy who's, you know, walking around with a fold, with a fold up map, you know, like it's 20 years ago, right? So you still have to capture you still have to live today, but don't, you know, kind of try and bring in those ideas from the past and try to make the best of both worlds. That's really how I see it.
How long can you go without your phone?
Me? I can go for a while.
How long have you gone without your phone?
How long have I got? Well, I haven't had to. Sometimes, you know, runs out of charge, which is really rare. But the best way to put it, the best way to put it is this way. When you're traveling around and you're not, you know, if you're roaming again, you still have Wi-Fi. So it's not really, you still kind of still have
your
phone.
But you've lost your phone. But, so I've lost my phone before or maybe had it damaged. And I remember just from all my experiences, those are the most peaceful times. Like, if you think about it,
they can.
It feels peaceful, but you also feel like you're missing out on something, and that's the other. And you sort of sometimes imagine, oh, maybe somebody tried to reach me. and when you have your phone.
That's true.
Yeah, but what about you, Madhu?
I think there are two perspectives of looking at this. So there's of course the, maybe for lack of a better word, the productive way of the phone. I think Eunice has explained that.
Yeah.
But I think we also have to step back and try to imagine what else has the phone presented that has probably got us glued onto it. Knowing very well that, you know, most of it could count as, you know, as waste of time. So let's say spending time and flipping through Instagram or TikTok or WeChat. So there are like thousands of things to look at. Of course, that, you know, probably for me, I look at that as what one of the things that we could be more careful about. And, you know, the kind of very useful work, I think, for techie people like Eunice, I use the phone for, in engagement and trying to make things happen. Of course, you know, those are exceptions. But of course, there's the other side of things, which I think globally people are getting worried about in terms of how people have to, you know, especially the kids that are growing up, what the reactions are to the likes that they're getting on social media or lack of them, or to the views that they're getting on social media or lack of them. So those are, I guess, that's the kind of dimension that we're getting into that could be detrimental. But I think to a certain extent, what we are doing, especially the productive side of things, you know, I think it would be unfair for us to count the hours. But if you look at the other side of things, it's something that we need to be concerned about.
Do you guys think that, because we have these social media platforms, that we spend time, you know, if I spend an hour on one of the social media platforms doing one thing, could that time be best spent in meeting people, or maybe calling people? Is that a better use of our time in terms of social interaction than spending, you know, several minutes or an hour or 2 hours seeing people on social media, maybe commenting on something or liking something, and thinking that we're actually doing meaningful social interaction? Eunice?
And I'll say this from the viewpoint of an introvert. You guys are extroverts, so you have no idea how exhausting a social interaction is. It's really exhausting.
A physical social interaction.
Yes, like talking to people, you have to try to read their cues and follow the direction of a conversation and try to read their feelings. At least for me, when I meet people face to face, it's not something that I can do like every day. I get really exhausted, like seriously exhausted, like I've run a marathon and I need a break from it all. I generally do not like to be around people. So I prefer, not that I don't like people, but being around people makes me exhausted. So I prefer to engage people online, unless the topic is so heavy that, for example, we are doing some investment or something that has gone wrong somewhere needs to be fixed. I'm happy to meet with someone, but generally, I don't find physical interaction very necessary.
Okay. Now, Evans.
Oh, can you hear me now? Sorry,
yeah.
I was muted. Well, yes, I don't think it's a fair way to look at it and say, well, what else could I be doing with this time?
So I was going off from what Matiko was saying. So there's all these interactions that we have online, which many of them are not healthy. So that's where I was going with that. That do you think it's a better use of time? And also you get to meet fewer people than when you're doing these interactions online. You have so many quote unquote friends, but they're not real friends. But if you spend time, meeting physically or,
Yes, 100%. And I'll tell you the reason why. The reason is because, first of all, people say things on the medium controls the message in some sort of sense.
Yeah.
Because when you're online, people say things that you wouldn't otherwise say in person, right?
Exactly.
Whether it's extreme bravado, whether it's just being completely what you would call antisocial in a face-to-face conversation. So then what happens then is that kind of slowly chips away at your perception of reality, and then you think that's reality, right? And this is why I prefer face-to-face, because then it's there, you're not practicing to go and do something, you're actually practicing the thing that is. Because if you think about online interactions, it sort of mimics what you would do in real life, but it's not really what you would do in real life.
Yeah.
So that's just assuming everything is as you see it, assuming everything presents in its actual real form. But what we know for sure is that, especially online political conversations and online polarizing, some of these very extreme conversations that happen online are really not authentic, in the sense that there's really no one who holds those thoughts in their head. Sometimes there is, but it's very few, very few. So
yeah, but they wouldn't. These people wouldn't say those things to you personally.
No.
Yeah.
Not even that. That's true. But there's something even deeper, which is there's really no one saying what you're reading is, for example, we saw this a few years ago in the election, right? It's for that was foreign interference, right? So they brought I don't want to say who did what, because I don't know, but essentially what happened is that people are able to read in between the lines. So let's say you and I were having a discussion, and there's a point at which we don't agree, right? Me as a third party standing as completely separate from your conversation, no investment whatsoever. I really don't care your side and his side. I'm just like, whatever. But then I look at that and I go, I see where they're missing each other. Okay, let me see if I can widen that gap and fire up both sides. And now you're in a conversation with an unknown entity. You think you're arguing with someone online, but you're not, because the subject matter of what you're arguing with is not yours or theirs. Somebody else has just put this in and said, you guys argue over this point here.
Yeah.
Right? For political reasons, it happens sometimes to drive traffic. So that would be a financial gain. So the thing with online is again, it's not reality, but it looks like it's a very close impersonation of reality. So you might look at it and go, well, yes, this is wrong, and I am going to speak out against XYZ, but really you're just, someone is harnessing your energy for their own good, is harnessing whatever emotions that they can get out of you, just riling you up, and that somehow translates to dollars in their pockets, and they will not be, they're not really ethical in terms of what is the net loss to you? What is the net gain to them? They're just looking at dollar signs. So that's my view on it. Yes. So 100% face to face.
So my final question, which you guys can comment about as you say your final thoughts, is so where do we strike the balance of our online presence vis-a-vis our presence on the digital world? How do we strike that balance?
Yeah, well, not a psychologist, so I can say pay attention to what matters to you. I mean, for me, having devices is my job, it's my livelihood. If I say I will switch off, then I'm out of work. But there's a very big difference from being engaged online and being engaged on social media. I don't know what are they called? TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. That is not constructive use of your time, I think. And there's actually a lot of research into that. This social media needs to be abolished in some way, because it brings a lot of mental health problems. But you can't just say that you're spending so much time on your devices that you need to go, you know, switch off and go somewhere else. Well, after work, of course, I switch off. But then I find myself just sitting there and wondering, so what do I do? I don't have a book to read, because why on earth would I read a physical book? I like how they smell, but I mean, I don't like to read a physical book. I like to read books, but when they're online, maybe go outside. And as I told you guys the other day, in Finland, for example, in the middle of the forest, and Finland is 72.6% forest, in the middle of the forest, there's internet. You can go anywhere inside there and there's internet. So it is a fundamental need to be connected to the world. And 2020 has proven to us the demonization of devices is not the whole story. You have to dig deeper. What are you doing on your devices? The young people, of course, are spending so much time on social media, and that cannot be healthy in any way. So it's about striking a balance, like strike a balance that works for you. I mean, when if you remember, Mash, when Facebook came out, you know, in JQuad, and there was this huge wave, and everyone wanted to be on Facebook and posting every day. And now I think I stay for months without posting on Facebook, because it's not important. But then we were younger and we were excited, and, you know, so this maturity that comes with age, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Good points. Evans.
My final take on this is just to I think the thing I try to remind myself sometimes is this, is that this used to be an amateur sport, but now it's a professional sport. And what I mean by this is, back in the day, if you just wanted to really decide what you're going to do with your leisure time, it was you, really. It was just you deciding, you know, I'm into Rambo movies, so let me put on a Rambo movie and watch. You know, I'm into dancing, let me go dancing. And the people on the other end, where you went to do your leisure activities, they didn't care. They were just, hey, if someone comes through here, we'll do what we do. But now, it's a professional sport. It's totally different. There are algorithms which are designed to keep you glued, you know, unlike anything else. There's even when we were kids and we, you know, we went to play outside, it wasn't that addictive. I mean, yeah, it was addictive as far as, you know, you wanted to hang out with your friends and everything, but there was really nothing as pernicious and something as just, there's something very visceral about the way leisure time is allocated now. And it's to the point where you have to question yourself and figure out exactly who's making that decision. Because we could, just because it's leisure time and it's time that you have, you know, you could, yeah, I could be doing X, Y, Z, but I'm just, you know, on my phone scrolling. And then you think it's your decision. But now there are professionals who know you from the inside out, and they are taking advantage of you.
Algorithms.
Of you having that blind side where you think you're making decisions, but you're really not.
Yeah.
So to me, what's the answer? I don't know, man. What is the answer? And maybe it's just putting hard stops, or maybe it's just finding something else that is but you have to recognize that there are people way smarter than you who are running the show on the other side of your phone.
Matigo.
Yeah, good. I think the other bit that, especially in conclusion, what I'll say is we can look at it in two ways. So there's, of course, the what we can term as the harmful side, which I think is becoming increasingly a topical issue around how we handle social media. But of course, there's the productive side of all our digital devices. And talking about the productive side, it's best for us to imagine and probably be very intentional around how we utilize and optimize how useful these digital devices can be. I guess there are certain things that, you know, even right now that we're actually at the point of having this conversation and generating some kind of conversation. I think that's something we should appreciate and probably try to adapt at our levels of what are the useful ways can we adapt to use these digital devices to advance a certain cause. You know, it could be, you know, sharing ideas. It could be to a level of, let's say, creating value online and, you know, over time, trying to imagine how can we harness this digital platform to make that over and beyond the, you know, what we'll consider as harmful, or, you know, the likes and the many other bits around TikTok. Yeah, I'm not saying that TikTok is a bad idea. Yes, there are people are creating content. There are people are creating content on the other side. There are people are creating content on Instagram. Well and good for them. But I think it's important that we try and see what kind of a balance in all this content that we're creating, and how can we create value out of this content. I think that would be the most useful thing to think about. Good. Thank you.
Good points overall. So I won't repeat what you have said, but I think for me, there's that balance of, you know, I've seen people going to vacation and someone is in the Caribbean at the beach. Instead of enjoying their time there, they're busy either taking videos, literally enjoying the view, quote-unquote enjoying the view through their cell phone, instead of actually like being there in the present. You're busy recording these videos that you probably never watch, or that maybe you want to post online first. So I feel like there's that aspect of our phones where people just need to relax and live in the moment. And then your last point, Matiko, where you're talking about harnessing the usefulness, I think that's a good point. So either you're in the side where you're being used by people who are harnessing value, or you yourself make something productive out of it. So for example, think about in the past, they used to build companies, you know, companies like Coca-Cola, GE, based on real physical assets. You know, a company would be built, you know, those companies took decades to build. Nowadays, somebody comes up with an app, and all of a sudden they, you know, their wealth is valued as much as the guy who built Coca-Cola, you know. So by just harnessing the technology, you know, the technology is there. So like you said, I mean, we could use these tools to build value or productivity or whatever out of it. So thank you guys for your contributions. Hopefully we can learn something from all our contributions here.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope it was fun, enjoyable, and insightful. For social media links, our webpage is kenyanvoices.simplecast.com. Again, it's kenyanvoices.simplecast.com. Feel free to ask questions, share with your friends, and let us know what you think. For new episode alerts, do not forget to subscribe.